Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Oh yes, this joyous announcement rings through the rafters every Easter season. With palm branches in hands, we begin the celebration of Holy Week as we follow Jesus' steps of his great sacrifice for you, I, and all people. As the sun rose on that Easter morning, so did our Savior. Death could not hold him, and through his death and resurrection, it brought us life. Today is All Saints' Day. This is the time of year on which the church celebrates that hope, the biblical hope or confident expectation that because Jesus died and rose again, all who die in faith will one day rise in the resurrection on the last day. An eternal hope that will not disappoint us, one that will sustain and strengthen us through faith. As we cherish the memories of our loved ones, the saints who have gone before us, this same message or confident expectation was given at their memorial service. Even though there might have been some present who were afraid of the end of life, we are not, because we have something to shout. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Last week, we celebrated Reformation. This we do every year on the last Sunday of October, with All Saints' Day the following week. And Martin Luther's Day, many people came to church on All Saints' Day, November 1st, because it was a holy day of obligation. He knew that if he posted his 95 theses on the church door at Wittenberg on the eve of that day, Hallowed Eve, or October 31st, many people would see it as they enter. His primary grievance was that in exchange for donations, the church would barter for the departed souls for a quicker entry into heaven. Since Luther was talking about indulgences for the souls of the dead, the eve of All Saints' Day was an extremely appropriate time for his posting. What happened next, the cry of Martin Luther, "I will not recant," changed the world. Thanks be to God that through all this, we have a clear understanding and biblical vision of our eternal path. One of these visions is given to us by St. John, where he describes heaven in the first lesson today in Revelation 7. We read again here in verse 10 and 11. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Imagine for a moment, all the saints have gone before us are eternally rejoicing from every place and from every age, a great multitude that no one could number, gathered around Jesus, singing a hymn of victory as one day enter the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. One day we will see. However, not yet. But you know what? In our sinful state here on earth, we still rejoice. Rejoice because we are sinners washed clean by the blood of Christ. Rejoicing for those who have gone before us, who were themselves washed clean, whom we will one day join with palm branches in hand, shouting, "He is risen indeed." That is where our hope lies. For one day we will meet again, as we continue to live in the now and not yet of God's salvation history. looking forward with real hope to a time when Christ will come again. Dwelling with that truth in a world full of complications, of joy and sadness, of hope and disappointment. A world where God is seen most clearly in the lives of everyone who love and serve Him, even when serving Him brings persecution and trouble. Serving Him with love and gladness until we can be like Him. John in his epistle says, "Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this, when Christ is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is." What does this all mean for you and I in the here and now? As I just read, we are God's children now. As we root our faith in the fact that He is risen, we know this truth. God sees us like the way I see my grandchildren. Nothing they can do will change the way I feel about them. God sees us the same way. He already sees us as He sees His dear Son. Even though we are painfully aware that we are not like Him now, not yet anyway, one day when Christ is revealed, we will be. We are repeatedly told in Scripture that we are chosen to be like God, to imitate His example through faith and be His hands and feet here on earth. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul instructs the believers in chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." We are to model our lives after the One who created us. I agree, it's easier said than done, especially in a world that is pulling the other direction. Everywhere you turn, there is a barrier that gets in the way. This reminds me about one of the many things COVID introduced. Working through the fear of this pandemic, the progression of business closures, mandatory masks, social distancing, and finally, when you thought that these restrictions were all going to be lifted and you thought things were going to be back to normal, there were the barriers. The plexiglass shield in front of every cash register or point of communication. Being hard of hearing anyway, I had a lot of trouble with these barriers, especially if the person on the other side was wearing a mask. Even though it violated safety protocol, I found myself standing to one side or the other of that shield so I could speak and communicate face to face. We also face many barriers in our daily life that get in the way of imitating Christ. The world says our blessings come from money, power, comfort, pleasure, and self-glory. The things that make us happy. But are these things really barriers instead? Jesus is there to help us through these barriers and guide us in the direction we are to live as God's blessed children. In the gospel lesson today, Matthew shares Jesus' Sermon on the Mount as he shows the blessing granted to those who choose to be his disciples. Here, Jesus teaches us that if we want to live as disciples, we must seek what the world does not. Poverty, meekness, mercy, humility, suffering, and persecution. Not that the things I mentioned earlier, money, power, comfort, and so forth, are bad. We just must not make them our barriers, our idols, so to speak. We tend to look at only the good things in life and count them as blessings. For example, a father gets a big promotion and now has enough income to put a pool in the backyard and the mother can quit her job. They share with friends how blessed by God they are. Or a young woman gets accepted into Harvard. and she will now pursue her law degree. She tells her peers how blessed by God she is. Don't get me wrong, God does work material blessings in the lives of people, and for that, it is good to give him thanks and praise. But we must remember, when we limit our thanks and praise only to similar situations, God's blessings become something that looks like the American dream. And not everyone experiences those kinds of blessings. What about the young woman that had her heart set on Harvard and didn't get in, settling for a career she is not happy with? Or what about the father who did not get the promotion and needs to downsize his home to make ends meet? Can these people be blessed? Is God still working in their lives? In our world, the way we use the word blessed, we might say no. But in this gospel lesson, Jesus sits in front of all of us on that mountain and says yes. Jesus' teachings change how we view God at work. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus says, because these are the people who have nothing to offer God. The tax collector who hides in the corner of the temple and will dare not raise his eyes to heaven. The widow who walks out of the city taking part in the funeral procession of her son. The demon-possessed man who lives among the tombs and knows he does not belong in the city. Blessed are these people, the people who have nothing, who can do nothing, who are nothing. Blessed are these people. Why? Because Jesus sees them, comes to them, and promises them that they have a God who makes something out of nothing. Blessed are those who mourn, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. With these words, Jesus looks upon all people, you and me, just as we are, amid the health problems, financial hardships, loss of a loved one, or whatever it might be, and he brings God's blessings. These blessings should affect the way we live as God's saints in this world today. Blessed, says Jesus, are those who are aware of the poverty of their own spirit, who realizes just how easily good motives can turn to bad. Blessed are those who mourn over their own weakness of sin. Blessed are those who choose a path of meekness rather than power, money, and self-glory. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are all these because in doing so they will be changed. They will be renewed. The very characteristics they long for, they will have. Blessed they will be as they are merciful to others, as the purity of their motives and their heart becomes clear. Blessed they will be as they become courageous peacemakers. Most blessed they will be, Jesus says, when they share something of my sufferings. For through these sufferings, you and I and all believers will more and more reflect the image of Christ and truly be, as the Lord sees us, the salt of the earth. For he has blessed us in good times and in bad to be lights in the darkness of a world which is longing for the acceptance and the love of God. Jesus looks at us with no barriers, face to face with his beatitudes. He is loud and clear as he opens the blessed life in the kingdom of God to all people. Why? Because the favor of God comes to everyone, no matter where they are at. We shout, "He is risen," because he went to the cross to open the gate of heaven to all people. All sin is forgiven in him. All suffering is overcome by him. all the saints before us and the saints of the here and now are blessed with his overwhelming grace. What a blessing it is on this All Saints Day to remember what it means to be blessed. Jesus pulls down our barriers so we can see how God comes into the sinful and suffering messes of all our lives and works in and through us to become an imitator of him. In Christ, you are claimed by God. In Christ, you are made a saint of God. And in Christ, you are and ever will be eternally blessed. With this eternal promise, we await the day when we will see Jesus face to face. Until then, we are blessed with his presence daily, and we will rejoice even more with the saints as we come to the Lord's table. For there we are joined with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. For there, with all the saints, we will cry with a loud voice, "He is risen! And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.